birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dale. Happy birthday to you. Amen, brother. God bless you. God bless you. Everyone stand. We'll get into the Bible tonight. I don't think I'll be too lengthy. I'd like for you to turn to Jeremiah again, chapter 31. Good to have you here tonight. Remember the Christmas play. If you get here a little early, you get blessed. The songs that they sing, and it's going to be a beautiful play. It's not a play. It's going to be beautiful. It is beautiful, and I appreciate all of you being a part of it. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 35. Nope, let's go back. Verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Father, we pray that you'd have your way tonight. You bless in every heart that is here for the next few moments. We pray, Father, your direction would be for us, that our minds be upon Israel, upon your land, dear Father, for your people. Dear God, reminding ourselves that we also are a people of God that have been grafted in. We have been blessed of the Lord to be part of this family. And we pray, dear God, that you'd have your way not only in our hearts, but in Israel tonight. That you'd provide them safety, you'd provide them, Lord, the peace, and that, Lord, you would show them your love as you never have, greater than in any time in their history. Protect them as I know you will. Your word demands it. Father, I pray that you'd be a help to them in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Now, the most important date in the 20th century was May the 14th, 1948. That's when Israel, in a day, became a nation. The most important event was the same time frame when a nation was born. And God said that it would happen hundreds of years before it happened, and he told us how that it would happen, and it happened the very way that God told us. The Bible says here in these words, and we've looked at Israel's glorious history, we've looked at Israel's glorious heritage, but we're looking at now Israel's glorious hope that we have. And we just read the scripture. I won't be lengthy tonight, so look to your neighbor and say, listen fast or you'll miss it. But tonight, we look at this and we understand what God is saying here. If you go to Israel, you realize that verse 31 through 34 has not happened. As I told you this morning a little bit, it's Israel, 5% of Israel is Orthodox. They believe in the coming Messiah. But as I also told you, the ones that report on this, the theologians, those that talk about it, the preachers that are there, the ones that study Israel are saying they're coming to the law, they're coming back to the things of God, more so than they ever have in their lives. Unprecedented is the word that they use. Several of them use that word, that they're coming back in numbers. Hundreds of them are coming back and coming under the law and doing the things of the law. We already told you about how Israel has accepted the law now, and that the law of God is being used, that Sundays, or excuse me, the Sabbath, I said Sunday I think this morning maybe, but the Sabbath is an honored day to them, and even the TVs are shut down. They don't watch nothing, they don't do anything, because the law is in effect during that time, during that day. And that amazes me, because that's what the Bible said would happen. That is something that he said would happen, not just at any time, but in the last days. And we need to understand that our minds need to be toward the last days. God commanded us over and over to think of the last days, to prepare for the last days, to be watching for the last days. And the Bible tells here that we should. Here it says what Israel will be doing in the last days. And God, as he said, he's drawing them. And we're going to look at that Wednesday night. But he's drawing them. But if you go to Israel, what is said here has not happened yet. Although we are in the birthing pains there. Although we see it happening there. But if you believe the word of God, you know that it's going to happen. You know that God is going to draw Israel. They're going to turn to him. And they're going to do exactly like they say. But the question is, how's it going to happen? How's God going to do it? Now, I should have had you turn here, but I want you to turn to the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah, so Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, the second to the last book in the Old Testament, right before Matthew. But I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 12, toward the end of the book there, and we're going to look at verse 3. Now, the Bible tells you and I that world opinion is going to continuously harden against Israel. That as we look at the world, not just the United States, but as we continue to look at the world, that world opinion of Israel is going to harden. It's going to turn against Israel more and more. Anti-Semitism is going to take over our world. And brother, that's exactly what's happening. Zechariah 12 and verse 3. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. That includes the United States. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. In other words, destroyed. Thou and all the people of the earth will be gathered together against it. Somebody asked me today, Brother Rudy, do you feel that this is the getting ready of the battle, the coming of the Lord? And I don't think so. Because if you'll look over there now in the Straits and in the Mediterranean and in other places, you'll see a lot of things. You'll see number one, you'll see 3 aircraft carriers from the United States. You'll see all the entourage of ships around those aircraft carriers and everything else. America, thank God, has not turned against Israel. Now, we see it in our nation. We see it in our universities. We see it in other things. Anti-Semitism is high. It's heady right now. It's very strong around the world. But we have not turned against Israel yet. And we're going to talk about that Sunday or Wednesday night. I hate to keep saying that, but I don't want to give away that part because it's interesting. But we need to understand that we've not turned against it. We're supporting them. We're backing them. We're helping them. And thank God that we are, because we remember what the Bible said. Blessed are they that protect Israel, that pray for Israel. And God has told us to do that. But anti-Semitism is alive today. Jewish day schools across our nation are closed. They can't have them. Universities are having a hard time of staying open. Synagogues are empty and they're closed because of all the people that are gathering against. And this is in the United States of America, yet this is worldwide. Worldwide, this is taking place. Social media, many of you have read it. The liberal, you can tell how liberal the people that you listen to, CNN, NBC, all of them, you can tell how liberal they are by how they come against Israel. Don't you dare listen to a news media that goes against Israel, because I guarantee you they're liberal. And you can't trust what they say. You can't trust a conservative all the time. I understand that. But you go to somebody that you can trust and that you can listen to, and that's for Israel and pro-Israel, and you'll be pro-God. You'll be pro-Bible. But we see that in social media, how that they have a hatred against the Jew. They have a hatred against that. And it's always when they even bring the Jews on to interview them, they're always questioning them, why are you doing this to Hamas? Why, or Hamas, why are you doing this to them? Oh, my goodness, it makes me mad. I don't stay there. I'll turn it. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to listen to it. If I see it on the internet, and that's where I see my news, if I see it just pop up, I'll turn away. I'll go somewhere else. Because I'm not going to listen to it, because it goes against the Bible. Jewish students studying in our universities, in the universities of the world, they're fearing for their lives. Why? Because they've got the world turned against them. Why? Because God said it would happen. God said it's going to be a sign of the time. It's going to be a sign of the coming of the Lord. And we see it today. We see it just like he said today, unlike all the other times that this has happened. Before, it would be a nation here or a nation there that would turn against the Jew. Now it's the world that is turning against the Jew. a professor at Cornell University. By the way, our Ivy League universities are terrible. The Jewish students are leaving them by hundreds, and they can't even go. And the professors that teach there, if you say anything pro-Israel, they'll threaten to kill you. You'll get death threats. But a professor said there at Cornell University, he said, and this is not a conservative professor, I guarantee you, Jewish students, it says, are unbelievably terrified for their lives. Now, this is his quote. He said, I would never have expected this to happen in a university campus in the USA. My goodness, think about that. Here is a liberal professor that's not for Israel either. He can't believe what's going on. The FBI director, Christopher Wray, he said this, and he warned America. He said, anti-Semitism is reaching historical levels in the U.S. and abroad. And we need to understand that. Why? Why? God has already prophesied that it would. It didn't take him unawares. It didn't take him and scare him. But what am I going to do with the Jews? God's got the Jews taken. He's taking control of them. And may I say, he's going to take over for you too. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. The Bible said greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The Bible says that we can do all things through Christ. The Bible says that if we abide in him, he abides in us. We shall ask what we will, and it shall be done. We got promise after promise after promise that you and I, as a child of God under the church, can claim just like the Jew can claim. And I'm glad of that, and I praise God for that. God will take care of us. Look at your neighbor and say, you can trust God. And we can. We can. And I praise the Lord. And I say again, listen, all of the prophecies that's happened hundreds of years before it happened, they have happened just like God said they would, down to the T, down to the dotting of the I. And I guarantee you, every prophecy that has not been answered from this time, that it will be answered in the future, will be answered exactly like God said. You can trust him. You can trust what he said. Zechariah said that, and I thank God for that, that we can trust those things that are there. Now listen, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. We call him the devil Superman, and he's going to come on the scene just like God said. He's going to okay Israel and protect Israel for a little while. He's going to turn against Israel in the tribulation period. And buddy, I tell you what, they're going to draw to him. And that's what these verses are talking about that is happening. But when Israel has been turned against by every nation, then God says Jesus is coming to take care of them. And he will. There won't be a lot of Jews left. Won't be a lot of the world left. But he'll take care of them. And I praise God for that. Zechariah 14, verses 2 and 3. Let's read that. For I will gather all nations against Israel to battle. That includes the United States. The United States may have been, and it's a stretch, may have been mentioned in one place in Ezekiel. In one place there, we may have been mentioned as a young whelp, a young lion of Britain. I don't know. I don't know if we were or not. It's a stretch. But that's the only place the U.S. is mentioned in Scripture that I found. And as you study and as you look at it, you wonder, Lord, where will we be? Well, I'll tell you what we will be in the end. We'll be turned against Israel like everybody else if we exist at that time. See, we need to understand that God doesn't need us, yet we're a remnant. And God said, keep that remnant, and that remnant will be alive when I come. And we train our children, we train our grandchildren, we stay where God would have us to stay ourselves, ready for the coming of the Lord, ready for God to do. But verse 2, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Oh, this is the coming of the Lord. Listen, this is the hope of Israel, but by the way, it's your hope and it's my hope. And the Bible says that Jesus is coming. Now, the Kidron Valley is north to south. If you've seen a picture, you've got Jerusalem here. And we stood on the eastern gates that are there, and they're closed up now. But I think this great earthquake is going to bust them wide open, or God's just going to say, stone, remove, and it'll remove. But these eastern gates, which he will walk in according to the word of God, and again, it's going to happen like he put it. We read it literally. We understand it literally. That's all you can do. I understand John 3:16 literally. For God so loved the world. The world means me. God loved me. Why? He gave his son. I believe that. I don't believe that it's telling me something and saying something else. And as we read this and we understand this and see all of these verses, God's going to bring them to fruition. They're going to be answered. The Kidron Valley is running north to south, and you've got you've got Jerusalem here proper, and then you got the Kidron Valley and the Eastern Gate. You're on the eastern side, and you're there, and it's going. The Bible says, as you look at that, we went over the Kidron Valley down into it, across a dry bed of that used to be the creek that was there that ran in Jesus' time. But we went through it. We went on up the mountain some, and we viewed that into the Garden of Gethsemane and things like that. But the Mount of Olives is higher. It's the highest point there in Jerusalem. And it's much above, much higher than Jerusalem, although Jerusalem is the next highest point there. When you look down on Jerusalem, the Bible said that Jesus is coming down on the top of that mountain. And that mountain is going to cleave east to west. It's going to come out. I believe the Kidron Valley is going to be filled up with this higher mountain. And I believe Jesus is going to walk right straight in that eastern gate and take over as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe he's going to do that, because that's what the Bible says. And there's going to be a great valley there where there's a mountain there. And God is going to walk through into that city, and he's going to claim to be who he is right now. We need to understand that. That is Israel's hope. See, the Bible said that the tribulation's coming, that they're going to suffer, that many will die. The tribulation is there to draw them to Christ when it seems like they're going under, when it seems like they have no hope and all the nations of the world will be turned against them. Jesus said, that's when I come on the scene. Now, who do you think is going to win the battle? Oh, it's no choice. There won't be any battle. God's going to come in by the word of his power. He's going to claim victory. And the Bible says there's going to be a greater slaughter than there ever has been in the history of man. And when that happens, Israel's going to realize their hope. And the Bible says that they're going to turn to the Lord. Look at verse 10. Notice Israel's response to what Jesus has done. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his own son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. The scales of blindness. Israel today says Jesus has never came. They're looking for their Messiah. Zechariah prophesied to us the words of God that they will see their Messiah. But he's not coming for the first time. He's coming for the second time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They'll see him whom they have pierced. They will mourn over what they have done to him that was pierced. The Bible says that they will understand what is happening. Look up to verse 30, 31 to 34 that we read there. Notice what he says. He said, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and they and will be their God, and they shall be my people. What God is saying is that I'm going to reveal to them who I am. They're going to know me as the one that came, that they crucified. And they're going to accept me. The Bible said in Romans 11, 26, Paul said this, so all Israel, all the remaining that is there, shall be saved. I thank God that the New Testament and the Old Testament go together. Each backs the other up. Listen, somebody said the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And that's the truth. Oh my goodness, as we read the Word of God and understand what God has done, we understand the hope of Israel is Jesus Christ, just as it is for you and I. Thank God for that. And you say, Brother Rudy, if I'm a Jew, what should I do? If you're a Jew, accept Christ. You say, Brother Rudy, I'm not a Jew, I'm a Gentile. What do I do? You accept Christ. Then you believe His Word. You trust His Word. You and I have the hope that they have, that He's coming again. Thank God he's coming again to receive us unto ourselves. Now, when this happens, you and I are coming with him. Can you say amen? I don't have to worry about the tribulation. I don't have to worry about all of that that happens. God said, I'm going to be delivered from that wrath that is to come, the wrath of God. Now, I may suffer some of the wrath of man. I may suffer some of the wrath of Satan. I may suffer some of the wrath of the world. But I'll never suffer the wrath of God. Thank God my Lord and my Savior died at Calvary that I might not have to suffer that. He paid my price. He died that I might live. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters, church. Boy, it's exciting. I love Brother Roger and he's preaching. Teaching. He'll get up. He'll talk about the coming of the Lord and the things of the Lord. And he gets excited about it. It's something to get excited about. As somebody said today, that whatever we can do for the Lord, we should do. That's what Eliza said. She literally said that. She said, you do what he says do. Well, he said to obey him. He said to glorify him. He said to do all that you can for his glory. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Ask to him. That's our hope. That's what we have. We don't have to worry about what the world is doing. I don't like the anti-Semitism. I don't like what Israel's went through. I don't like what September 11th. We call that Israel's September 11th. It's not either. Not at all. It doesn't even compare what they suffered and what we have suffered. They didn't compare at all. But as children of God, we need to understand that God is going to take us home one day. We're rising, going up. We're going to enjoy the things of God. Thank God he's going to purify us. Thank God the things that we've done that are not good, he's going to burn. It's going to be burnt up. There's a book of remembrance that he's got that's going to be brought out, the things that we've done to his glory, that we've done just for him. And oh my, those lily works that we did, that they just brought glory to him. We didn't get anything out of it. He got everything out of it. And God said, listen, you're going to enjoy that. Then we're going to go. The Bible says, after this time of the judgment seat of Christ, when we're looked at for giving of rewards, taking of rewards, we're going to take in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Think about that. Marriage, I like the way it's called. You know, grandma, mama, I was raised up, it was supper. These refined people, they call it dinner now, you know. I hope you don't. It's supper. Now, that's where did they get it? The Bible. Married supper of the Lamb. Supper's a whole lot better than dinner, amen? Oh, my goodness. And we're going to have a supper. We're going to have, listen, when they met together and they started and communion was taking place in the early church, they had a feast. But they got to doing it the wrong way, and they stopped it. And we started taking this little wafer and this little piece of juice as a pie type of the symbolic. But that's not what it's going to be up there. That's going to be a table full. How many of you enjoyed? We enjoy eating, don't we? We enjoy the meals. I like that. I like that. I told somebody we was having the big meal last one we had, and they said, are you going to have enough? I said, well, we're going to have about five tables of food, and I said, two or three tables of desserts. I said, you just come eat all you can. I said, they always have some to take home with you too. So I said, we're going to enjoy that. But can you think of what God has prepared? And it's a literal feast. I believe we'll enjoy it. Be able to eat all we can, not have to worry about taking extra insulin, Brother Dow. Praise the Lord for that. Isn't that good? Won't have to worry about it. Just eat all that you want to eat. Enjoy what you want to enjoy for eternity. The hope of Israel is your hope and my hope. We need to understand that. So thank God, as Israel, we've got a heritage as Israel. We've got a history. As Israel, we've got a hope. And I praise God for that. We serve the same God. Let's bow our heads. Father, as the invitation is given, the altar is always open. People need to pray. They need to come pray. And dear God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch us, Lord, in this sermon that gives more information than maybe inspiration. But God, it inspires me to study what you have done and what you have planned. Lord, it just lifts me up and encourages me to know that everything that you've said, no matter if you said it 2,500 years before it happens just like you said. And Lord, you by that are saying, I'm God, I'm in control, I'm sovereign. And thank God that your sovereignty reaches into your providence for you, for each of us here tonight. You've got our steps ordered. You know what we're going to face. You give the strength to face it. And we thank you for it, Father. Bless each one that is here today. Lord, our hope is the same as Israel's. It's Jesus. And we trust him. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's everything to us, Lord. And we pray tonight again. We pray for Israel. But Lord, we pray also for our nation. And we know according to your word, at one point we're going to turn. But oh, dear God, keep us there. Keep us behind Israel as long as we can. Help us, Lord, to serve you, to love you. And dear God, at the time, whether we're here or our children, we don't know what time you've got and what you're coming. We don't exactly know it, and neither can we set the time. But dear God, whenever you come, you protect our children. You protect our grandchildren. Help us to live such lives that we impact them and help them along the way. And we'll give you praise and give you honor. We rest in you. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. May God be with you.